Our focus this evening is verse 12 of Matthew 6, where we read, "Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors." I want to suggest to you this evening, as we pray this verse, we will grow stronger in reconciliation. Now, as a short introduction, I want to focus on this word reconciliation, because I've chosen this word instead of forgiveness, because I believe that reconciliation is central to God's heart and it's central to all biblical teaching. It is wonderful to be forgiven and it's wonderful to forgive, but there is another thing to be reconciled. Reconciliation has to do with the restoration and the healing of a broken relationship. It's another step beyond forgiveness. Paul says to the church at Corinth, we have not only been forgiven, but we have been reconciled to God. And now we have the ministry of reconciliation. Now we have the ministry of seeing broken relationships restored and healed. Now, I know that this subject can be deep, emotional, painful, and challenging. So I want to encourage you, if you need to talk to anyone after this evening, find someone to talk to and to pray with you in these days. Let us focus on two areas of forgiveness that's mentioned in this verse. First of all, when we receive forgiveness, we are reconciled to God. Father, forgive us. Now, this is not a prayer of justification. This is a prayer of sanctification. We already know God as Father. We have been redeemed. We have been justified. We have been forgiven. This verse has to do with sanctification, the need of God's forgiveness on a daily basis. I want to suggest to you that the main meaning of John 13, when the Lord washed the feet of his disciples, was more to do about sanctification than it was about servanthood. Jesus comes to Peter and he goes to wash the feet of Peter. And Peter says, "You can't wash my feet. Please don't wash my feet." And Jesus says to him, "Peter, unless I wash your feet, you will have no part with me." Peter then overreacts and he says, "Lord, wash my hands and my head as well." And Jesus said to him, "Those who've had a bath, they don't need another one. They only need their feet washed from the dirt of the day." And here lies the spiritual application. We have had our bath. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We have been justified. We have been forgiven by God. But as we walk through this life, we still sin. We do things and we say things and we think things that are wrong, and our feet get dirty and they need to be cleaned. I want to suggest to you tonight that there's a direct link from verse 11 to verse 12. As much as we need daily bread to stay alive physically, we need daily forgiveness to stay alive spiritually. And God not only longs to forgive us, he longs that we might be reconciled to him. He longs that he might restore the fragmentation of our relationship through sin on a day-to-day basis. I want to say to you tonight, at the heart of the story of the prodigal son is both forgiveness and reconciliation. Luke 15. One of my favorite verses in the whole of Scripture is verse 20, where we read that the Father saw him and he ran to him and he threw his arms around him and he embraced him and he kissed him. And he said to the servant, go and bring the ring and bring the cloak and bring the sandals. Kill the fatted calf. We will celebrate. Because the son of mine who was dead is now alive. Now, I want you to notice that the father wasn't waiting with a stick to punish the son. He didn't say, well, I told you this would happen. He didn't say, you go and eat with the pigs and that will teach you a lesson. He didn't say, go and get washed because you stink and then come and we'll embrace. The father embraced the son with an unconditional love, and they were reconciled. God the Father is waiting. He is longing for the prodigals to return so that he might embrace them. Those prodigals that are no longer attending the church, and dare I say it, those prodigals who are attending the church. But sadly, not all churches are ready to receive the prodigals. Our son, when he was 20, became a prodigal after his sister died when she was 18. His faith was absolutely shipwrecked. He couldn't understand why a loving, caring God would take his sister. One Sunday, he decided to come to church to hear his dad speak. And when he got to church, the woman who was part of the welcoming team, who was standing on the door, looked at Craig, and she knew who he was. She looked at Craig and she said this, "You will not for 1 minute come into this church with that woolly hat on your head. Take it off." And at that, he turned and he went home. I want you to know, church, that I believe that we're living in a season when the prodigals will come home. And as a church and as a family, we need to be ready to embrace them with all their filth and with all their smell. On a daily basis, I often pray Isaiah 43, verse 6. I say to the north, and I say to the south, and I say to the east and the west, give them up, send our sons and our daughters home. You know, the truth is this, church, that we all need forgiveness. Whether you're eating with the pigs, or whether you're dining with the saints, we all need forgiveness. And it is possible to have a prodigal heart and a prodigal spirit and still attend church Sunday after Sunday. We need the bread of forgiveness on a daily basis. 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not within us. Let's keep short accounts with God and let's seek forgiveness from God on a daily basis and be reconciled to him. Second area, when we pray, we release forgiveness so that we can be reconciled to God and to each other. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And then Jesus highlights the consequences of not doing this in verses 14 and 15. He says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Praise God. But if you don't forgive others their sin, your Father in heaven will not forgive yours. Now, this verse is one of the hardest verses in the whole of Scripture to deal with, because it's so painful and it's so costly to actually apply what we know to be true. He says, Jesus didn't say, pray, Father, forgive my sins, and I will try. I will do my best. I'll give it my best shot to forgive others. He didn't say that. He said, freely you have received, and so freely you should give. And when we fail to forgive, be assured of this, it will affect our relationship with God. It will affect how we hear God. It will affect how we see God. It will affect how we receive from God. It will affect how we serve God. And I speak of personal experience here. 3 days after our daughter Hannah died, Liz and I received a letter from this woman who was part of this church that I used to preach at on a regular basis. So I knew her, and we had prayed for her often. And she wrote this letter 3 days after Hannah died. And this is what she said. If only you had the faith to believe that Hannah would be healed, she would be still alive. She said, it's not too late even now. If you go to the mortuary, you will be able to call her back in Jesus' name. And unknown to this woman, Liz pleaded with God, and she asked God that Hannah would come back to life when she died, but it wasn't to be. And I can't begin to tell you of the pain and the anguish and the wounds that that letter caused. 4 months after Hannah's death, I'm preaching in this church. And at the end of the service, this woman comes up and she stands before me and she wants forgiveness. And I can tell you, my heart sank. And in my head and in my heart, I went through very quickly 3 stages. The first stage was this: I don't want to forgive this woman. I really don't. After all the pain and the anguish that she's given to us, I don't want to forgive her. The second thought was this: I can't forgive her. I have nothing left within me to forgive this woman. I'm still trying to come to terms with what lost. I've got nothing to give. And the third thought was this: I must forgive her, because I realized that my relationship with God was being fragmented. It was being hindered. I realized that I could do and achieve nothing for God if I didn't release forgiveness. I realized that I could build nothing for God that would last if I didn't release God's forgiveness. And so I prayed, Lord, would you give me your compassion? Would you give me your love? Would you give me your grace in these moments? And something supernaturally happened. God came by his Spirit and he moved my heart, and I was able to release forgiveness to this woman. And we stood together and we wept together and we were reconciled, because freely I had received, and so freely I had a responsibility to give. And this process of forgiveness and reconciliation is ongoing. Remember when Peter, he went to Jesus in Matthew 18 and he asked the Lord, how often should I forgive my brother and sister who sin against me? He said, is it seven times? I wish. And Jesus replies to him, seven times? Try 77 times. And this application of this verse is imperative if we're ever going to grow and develop in our relationship with God. And let me tell you this evening from experience, He will give you the grace and the compassion and the love that you need to give freely what you have freely received. I want to say this in closing. Sadly, reconciliation with other people is not always possible because it takes two parties to come together. It is not always possible, but I believe, as I look at the teaching of Jesus and of Scripture, it is without question always God's heart. Let me close with the words that Paul spoke over the church at Ephesus. In chapter 4, verse 32, he writes this: be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you and me. We grow together in reconciliation when our debts are forgiven and we forgive our debtors. As we prayed before our time together, my lovely wife Liz received something from the Lord, and I want her to come and share it just as we bring this session to an end.
Hi everyone. As I was looking at this bud, this rose bud, I felt the Lord saying to me that the light can't really get to the center of the rose until it's fully opened. And I felt him say that that's like our hearts, that when we don't forgive, our hearts are closed to God and they're tightly shut, and God's love and His Spirit can't shine on our hearts, and we can't experience that love of God until we open our hearts and give our lives and our forgiveness and release that forgiveness to Him. So I'm praying for you all that you'll not be like the tight buds, but you'll be like the open roses to receive the light of God, to receive the forgiveness of God as you give forgiveness away. Bless you all.